Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gogopina Shaima Kunda Radha Kunda Giti Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Navadvip Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Gangamaya Jamuna Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvase Sisanyavadi Paskachyade Satarane. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Manchakalpa Chubhyascha Kripa Sandhubhyebhacha Patitanam Pavana Ebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So it is the
recording in progress.
It is the 26th of August, 2021, coming up on Janmashtami. And we are going to be studying the Nectar of Devotion. We're in the Southern Ocean, and today we're studying just chapter 26. I want to remind everybody to please keep in touch with the syllabus, because some weeks we do one chapter, some weeks we do more than one chapter. We don't always do one chapter a week. Okay, we got again some wonderful, wonderful questions, which I've integrated into the presentation. Some of you have not submitted questions. Many of you are submitting questions, but some of you are not. And I'm really, you know, I can't force you, but I really would like to encourage those of you who have not submitted questions, please submit questions every week. You can do it a week in advance. Just 24 hours is the cutoff, because I do spend a few hours researching your questions and integrating them into the presentation. So 24 hours is the latest you can send questions, but you can certainly send them to Shakti Swarupini earlier than that. And it will make a big difference in your own study and your own understanding to do that. Try to have the questions be as difficult, again, as you can. Okay. So this is the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the devotional mellow of the nectar or eternal ocean, the nectar of devotion. And in this Southern Ocean, we're looking at the five components of rasa. And again, Srila Prabhupada often uses rasa as a synonym for sthaibhav. Technically, rasa is the combination of all of these bhavs working together. And this is our last class in the first wave of the Southern Ocean, and this is the third part of the first wave on vibhava. So Vibhava is covered in Nectar Devotion, chapters 20 to 26, and we're today looking at the third part of Vibhava. So today we're focusing on chapter 26. And what a wonderful meditation to do right before Janmashtami. I mean, I was just thinking of the timing of this and how it's really kind of perfect to be having this meditation right before Janmashtami. So, again, we should be familiar. I know for some people it will be hard to memorize so many terms, but we have this interrelationship, and of course the relationship is more complex than we're showing here, but the idea is that the sthaibhav is stimulated by the vibhava, expresses itself through the anubhava and the sattvika bhava. There's waves of emotions of the vyavichari bhava, and all together this produces taste. So the basic connection one has with Krishna, it's always being stimulated. There's voluntary expressions of it, involuntary expressions, and then waves of emotions, and all together that brings us a taste. So we're looking at the vibhava, but we're looking at the section of the Vibhava, which is Udipana, which Prabhupada translates as impelling. So this is related to the Lord and his devotees that stimulate love of God. So this is Rupa Goswami divides this into four: the Lord's qualities, guna, chesta, his adventures, his pastimes, prasadana, his embellishments and attire, and then prakirna, miscellaneous stimulants that don't really fit into any particular category. And again, we're looking at these different categories of vibhava. So vibhava altogether is, we're talking about the stimulants. What stimulates the sthayi bhav? And the basic stimulant is Krishna himself as the object, ashraya, the devotee, the reservoir of affection, and what we're looking at today is the udipana. And some of these things can be in both, but depending on how you look at them. So we had this question again today: how do you know if something's in alambana or udipana? And we're going to answer this both for Krishna's qualities, because we studied Krishna's qualities under alambana vishaya, and here they are again under udipana. And for the devotee, when is the devotee in the basic category, and when is the devotee in the impelling category? So we looked at this already, but we had the question again, and we're going to look at this again. Okay, so this whole class is on chapter 26, and again, there's four categories of udipana: the Lord's qualities, the Lord's pastimes, his embellishments and attire, and his miscellaneous stimulants. So altogether, the contents for this section of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, under Krishna's qualities, we're going to look, is it an alambana or a udipana? And in addition to the 64 qualities, we're going to look particularly in terms of body, Krishna's body. And here Rupa Goswami really discusses Krishna's ages, Komara, Poganda, Kaishora, and briefly his beauty, his form, and his softness. And then Krishna's qualities, also verbal and mental. Also verbal and mental. Yes. And then other ones: Krishna's actions, Krishna's pastimes. Then Krishna's attire and accessories: his clothing, his hairstyle, his garland, his tilak, tambula, and his play lotus. And then we have the miscellaneous udipana: his ornaments, his smile. Why is Krishna's smile not considered part of his bodily qualities? I don't know. His fragrance, same with that. His flute, his horn, his anklets, his conch shell, his footprints, his places, tulasi, his devotees. Again, here, devotees as udipana and not ashraya. And festival days. So asking this question, Krishna's qualities, those 64 qualities of Krishna, are they alambana, are they basic, or are they udipana? So please listen carefully. When one thinks that Krishna has a beautiful body, then the beautiful body is part of alambana, because the emphasis is on Krishna. But when we think of the beauty of the body of Krishna, the emphasis is on the beauty, which then becomes udipana. So I'm thinking, oh, Krishna, 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 you are so beautiful, and I love you. I love you, the beautiful. That's Vishaya Alambana. If I'm thinking, wow, look at Krishna's beauty. Wow, look at his smile, look at his arms, look at his feet. Wow, he has beauty like a lotus flower. Then the beauty is an udipana, because I'm focusing on the beauty. And so Krishna's entourage is also Krishna. Right? And so someone asked the question, well, are the demons in Krishna's pastime an udipana? And the answer is no. The demons are not part of Krishna's entourage. So when we talk about Krishna's entourage, we talk about Krishna's devotees and paraphernalia. We don't talk about the demons. So don't worry. We're not talking about demons as udipana. Krishna's killing the demons is an udipana, but not the demons. The form of Krishna is the alambana. His ornaments, age, and other items act only as udipana. So if you're going to focus just on Krishna's age, if you're going to focus on just on Krishna's jewelry, that's Udipana. They're only Udipana. But Krishna's qualities can act as Alambana and as Udipana. So again, if we're thinking, oh, I love Krishna, he is so merciful. And if I'm thinking, let me meditate on the mercy of Krishna. So I love Krishna, who is very merciful, is Alambana. If I'm meditating just on Krishna's mercy, that's Udipana. Now, Krishna's 64 qualities can be divided according to body, speech, and mind. They can be divided according to body, speech, and mind. So bodily qualities like softness, and Rupa Goswami specifically mentions softness here. Mental qualities can be like genius. Speech qualities can be like linguist. And Rupa in this chapter, in this section, does not really talk about mental and speech. Okay, we're going to do this very, very quickly. I'd like everyone in the chat box, please write down two qualities from this list that you would consider bodily qualities. Two qualities. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Very quickly. We need to do this very quickly. Two qualities that you would consider bodily. Please write them in the chat. Everyone. Okay, now, write in the chat two qualities of mind. Two qualities of mind. Write them in the chat. Two qualities of Krishna's mind. Okay, now two qualities of Krishna's speech. Two qualities of Krishna's speech. Okay, so please stop. Now what we're going to do is we're going to see how is it we could be meditating on these qualities as Udipana rather than Alambana. So I want to give an example. This is from an upcoming book that I'm writing with a devotee named Kamalasita, disciple of Indrajumna Swami. Is the playing of his flute verbal or physical? Huh. I don't know. That's a really good question, Mahalakshmi. Krishna is certainly talking through his flute. So this is a meditation that Kamalasita and I wrote as an Udipana, looking at one of Krishna's qualities. Of course, this is a mental quality. And this book is going to be published by BBT Africa. It has a lot of different kinds of meditations in it, but one section is meditating on each of the 64 qualities. So this is a meditation on Krishna being very forgiving and how in our day-to-day life we can meditate on this forgiveness as an Udipana. So I'm going to read this. A forgiving person is one who can tolerate all kinds of offenses from an opposing party and not feel resentment toward them. An extraordinary instance of Krishna's forgiveness was when Bhrigu Muni kicked the Lord's chest. Rather than getting angry at Bhrigu, the Lord apologized for the hardness of his chest and his failure to greet Bhrigu properly. Often our parents forgive us, just as Krishna forgave Bhrigu. They are so focused on our happiness that they hardly notice our offenses. Rama gives the example of how a pregnant woman never takes offense when the child in her womb kicks her by stretching. The grass we trample shows this quality of forgiveness in the Lord's universal form. Although we press it with our feet, it cushions our feet and happily bounces back. A cork in water has the same forgiving nature. No matter how many times it's pushed into the water, it bounces back. When we appreciate being forgiven by those we love, and we find peace and freedom in forgiving others, we can meditate on how glorious, compassionate, and liberating is the forgiveness of Krishna. So I want now for us to do an individual writing exercise, to take any of the, we'll give you about 7 minutes for this, to take any of the qualities of Krishna, and write one or two paragraphs about how this quality of Krishna, can act in your own spiritual life or the spiritual life of others as an Udipana. So I'm going to go back to the list of qualities so that you can see these list of qualities, and we're going to give 7 minutes for this. So you may begin, and you can write it on your own, and then share it in the chat box if you want. If you don't want to share it, that's fine. Please work for this on 7 minutes. Okay, please start the recording again.
Recording in progress.
If you'd like to share your the meditation you wrote, you can. If you don't want to, that's fine. These are wonderful. Anybody else like to share? These are very, very nice. Anyone else would like to share in the chat?
Hare Krishna. So, I was just thinking about the cleaning process. Hare Krishna, are you able to hear me?
Yeah. About which one?
Pleasing talker.
Uh-huh.
So, Krishna is so wonderful that he can change the heart of an inimical person towards a friendly attitude, one thing. Another thing is that whenever there are some, even though like when he has to handle with Rukmini and Satibhama, both are very dear queens of Lord Krishna, but there will be always some type of fight between both of them with Krishna in the center. And how he has that, they'll have opposite views, exactly opposite views, but Krishna would coincide with his transcendental attitude. So something is very wonderful.
With his pleasing talking, right? With his pleasing talking.
Pleasing talking, yes. And,
Thank you,
Another thing is that whenever when Arjuna wanted to marry Subhadra, Balaram opposed it. But Krishna had some discussion with Balaram and he pacified Balaram. Even with Balaram, he had done it.
Even with Balaram, with his pleasing talking. Thank you. Anyone else like to share in the chat or anyone else like to speak and share their meditation? Okay.
I could say, I wrote mine on paper, but I can read it quickly.
Oh, that would be lovely. Yes, please.
I chose the quality of that Krishna is gentle. Krishna is gentle in the way that he speaks and the way that he deals with his devotees. Although he is as hard as a thunderbolt with demons, he is soft as a rose with his devotees. As sadhakas, we can rest assured that Krishna is going to handle us gently. He's not going to give us a test that we can't pass, or a situation that knocks us so hard that we can't get up. When we make mistakes, he gently encourages us to keep going, and his smile is always soft and gentle. We should also be gentle with others, not heavy-handed or harsh. We should be patient and steady and encouraging in a sweet and gentle way so others can relax and feel comfortable in Krishna consciousness. Gentleness may be seen as an expression of Krishna's other qualities like compassion and equilibrium. And it manifests in other qualities like talking pleasingly and being liberal and also being the well-wisher of everyone.
Wow. Anybody else like to share, either speaking or in writing in the chat, what their meditation on one of these qualities as Nudipana is?
I can share what I wrote. I selected Krishna's quality of being the well-wisher of devotees. By meditating on this quality, I and others can feel assured that Krishna cares for us. Although he is aloof, he still wants the best for us. It is also an impetus to become Krishna's devotee more and more, because if we are not his devotee, then Krishna might think we don't want his love, and therefore leave us alone according to our desire. That is, to be separate from him and to try to enjoy without him.
Wow. Just imagine what our ISKCON society would be like if every day we shared such discussions among ourselves. Right? This is the Machitama Gita Pranam. Thank you. Thank you so much. So I wanted to bring up something else. I had a question. One person asked a question that everything can be an Udipana for Krishna. I mean, Rupa Goswami is going to mention specific Udipanas, but as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells Ramananda Roya, that everything, we can see Krishna everywhere. And so the question was asked by one of you, that what about filth, what about crime, what about discord and suffering? How can we see this as an Udipana? So I wanted to give an example again from our upcoming book. Here we looked at the universal form as described in the Bhagavatam. This is based on Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 20, Text 25 to 29. On his shadow was death. So here's the meditation Kamlasita and I wrote on how to have this as an Udipana. It is scary to go into a dark alley alone or into a dark, lonesome underground parking lot where every shadow makes us believe there's danger. On a sunny day, however, if we sight a bird of prey soaring on the wind currents, we may find it awe-inspiring, or at least we look twice. But for the little mouse in the grass, that bird's shadow is most probably the last thing he will see. It is not surprising that death exists in Krishna's shadow. How can Krishna have a shadow? He is the source of all illumination. The sun is a tiny fraction of his bodily rays. When we turn our backs to Krishna, it is we who are in shadow. That turning away becomes like death to us. We forget our spiritual identity and our eternal life. From Krishna's perspective, the material energy is simply another one of his energies. Like a child plays with his shadow without fear, for Krishna there is no death and illusion in his own shadow. So there's certainly ways of seeing everything in the world as an Udipana, because everything has some connection with Krishna and can stimulate our love for Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says that there's no need to describe the verbal and mental qualities because they have already been described in depth under his category of Alambana. However, he wants to describe bodily qualities of age as Udipanas. In terms of the qualities of age, then beauty and mildness. Okay, Krishna's ages. So he has childhood, Kumara, ending with the fifth year, boyhood, Poganda, ending with the 10th year, and youth, Kaishura, ending with the 16th year, and after that is manhood. So someone asked about the statement of Srila Prabhupada that as far as Krishna's transcendental pastimes are concerned, they are mostly executed during the Kumara, Poganda, and Kaishura age. And the question was, well, is there another age? So this, what's called Navayovana or Yovana, can be considered the end of the Kaishura age, and it can also be considered further than that. And those pastimes are particularly executed in Mathura and Dwarka. So the Kumara age is particularly suitable for pastimes with the parents, Poganda for pastimes with friends, and Kaishura for pastimes with the gopis. And then Krishna goes to Mathura and Dwarka, where he has other pastimes as Navayovana. So we say that the Vrindavan pastimes are in these three ages. Now, someone also asked a very nice question about, in the spiritual world, many of our acharyas say that Krishna only exists as Kaishura, that we don't see the Kumara and Poganda ages in the spiritual world. Of course, Krishna can manifest whatever he wants in the spiritual world. It's not, it's a question of can't. And then someone asked, well, why would anybody want to go to the spiritual world then? Why don't, like those in Vatsalya Bhava or in Sakya Bhava, why wouldn't they just want to stay in the material world? And what a thoughtful question. And of course, the answer is that the pastimes in the material world, Bhoma Leela, are also eternal. And Krishna's associates can be engaged in his Leela in the material universe and in the spiritual universe simultaneously. So they don't have to choose. They don't have to say, well, do I want to be here or do I want to be there? And then Rupa Goswami also says that Krishna's Kaishura age may be further divided into three parts. So we have the Kumara, which is up to 5 years, Poganda, which is 6 to 10 years, and Kaishura, which is 11 to 15 or 16 years. And so this is divided into three parts, 11 to 12 years, 13 to 14, and 15 to 16. And again, we could ask the question, is Krishna's age Alambana or Udipana? So what Rupa explains is that even though the age of youth, Kaishura, is said to be the swarup of the Vishaya, that this is his own form, if we think of an age kind of separately, like we were looking at the qualities separately, then it becomes an Udipana. All right, so we're going to look at these three different parts of the Kaishura age, because Krishna and Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada go into this in depth. So the description of the beginning of the Kaishura age, 11 to 12. So his luster gets very bright. His complexion looks like an Indra Nila jewel. He gets reddish borders around his eyes, and he gets soft hairs growing on his body. And there he wears, likes to wear this Vaidanti garland that goes all the way down to his knees or his feet. He likes to wear a peacock feather, likes to put on the costume of a dancer. The sweetness of his flute playing and the luster of his dress. Now, while we're going through this, I'd like you all to think about what's your favorite So we have the Kumara, Puganda, and then we have these three parts of Kaishora. So I'd like you to think, we're going to have a discussion. So I'd like you to think about what's your favorite, right? We have, these are the different Kumara, Puganda, Kaishora, then 11 to 12 years old in Kaishora, 13 to 14 years old in Kaishora, 15 to 16. So as we're going through this, think about what's your favorite. Okay, here we have again beginning of Kaishora. Its brows are like the bow of Cupid. They are moving like they are dancing. One of the hairs on Krishna's brows is so ecstatic, huh? The tips of his nails, maybe his fingernails and his toenails, are soft like dried bamboo leaves. And his teeth are a little reddish. Now, Jiva Goswami makes a little note here that in order to convey the particular beauty of this age, there is a description of adopting the local customs, such as letting the fingernails grow sharp and coloring the teeth. But it should be understood that at this time, the exquisite beauty of such sharp nails and teeth, which derive the charm of crown jewels, appears spontaneously, and thus they are not included in the list of his accoutrements, which are consciously prepared. So we're going to be looking later at Krishna's ornaments, which are prepared for him, but the qualities of his nails and teeth here are appearing naturally. It's not something that he's doing even according to local custom. So again, beginning of Kaishora age, Vrinda Devi says, your newly invented smile. Oh, how can it be a newly invented smile? We also had this question. Because Krishna smiles ever fresh. Everything about Krishna is ever fresh. And whenever he smiles, it's like, oh, where did that smile come from? Has so captivated the hearts of the gopis that they are simply unable to express themselves. As such, they have become bewildered and will not talk with others. So we also had this question that the gopis can call out Krishna's name when there's a demon coming. Why can't they express themselves when Krishna smiles? And it's because the way they feel when Krishna smiles is romantic. And so they're not able to express that openly. When there's a demon coming, everybody can say, Krishna help, and there's no embarrassment about that. Okay, going to the middle of his Kaishora age, 13 to 14 years, indescribable beauty in his two thighs, his two arms, and his chest, and sweetness in his whole form. His thighs were challenging the trunks of elephants. His rising chest was trying to come to peace talks with doors of jewels. His arms were minimizing the value of the bolts formed on doors. His face brilliant with a soft smile, his eyes restless with flirtation, his singing which enchants the three worlds. Now he's enjoying the Raslila, joking with the cowherd girls, enjoying their company in the gardens on the banks of the Yamuna. In some places, by his clearly visible lac-stained footprints, in other places by the plundered peacock feathers from his headdress, in other places by beds strewn with discarded belts, by a multitude of disheveled groves and sand glowing with the evident marks of dancing together in a circle, Vrindavan announces the manifold pastimes of Govinda. That's such a wonderful quote from Rupa Goswami. Middle of his Kaishora age. In the sky of Krishna, there's a powerful rising sun. And now this rising sun is minimizing the rays of our chastity moon. Our attraction for Krishna is so intense that it is drying up the lotus flower of our discrimination. And we are losing our senses in deciding whether we shall continue as chaste women or be victimized by the beauty of Krishna. The end of his Kaishora age, this is 15 to 16 years, his limbs become even more alluring and three lines are clearly manifest at his navel. Here his chest is stealing the radiance of a boulder from an emerald mountain. His two arms agitate the pride of sapphire pillars. The three folds of skin on his abdomen shame the beauty of the Yamuna's delicate waves. and his excellent thighs surpassed the trunks of banana trees. There's a typo in the Nectar Devotion. It says bananas instead of banana trees. As I mentioned before, Srila Prabhupada produced Nectar Devotion in 1969. He, several places, wrote in Nectar Devotion that he was struggling with English equivalencies, and his editors were very new devotees, so we find a number of these kind of funny statements. Probably the editors had never seen banana trees, and they just wrote bananas. So, defeating the five arrows of Cupid, he makes the women lose all composure. Playground of the 64 arts. So, this last part of Kaishora can also be called Navayovana, although Yavanovana can also be after Kaishora. So, this was is really funny. I really appreciated this one. How the gopis are saying that Krishna's, their attraction for Krishna is like a demon. But then they're asking Krishna to kill the demon of their attraction for him. So they're very bewildered. And here we find that Krishna is considered the emperor of the ruling prince for the empire of six features of conjugal loving affairs. This is very nicely explained in detail by Rupa and by Jiva's commentary, which we won't get into here. But peacemaking, picking a quarrel, going to meet one's lover, sitting together, separation and support. Here we find another editing problem. In Nectar Devotion, and someone asked a question about this, in Nectar Devotion it said that Krishna was scratching the gopis with the nails of parrots. That is an editing mistake. It should be dispatching messages to the gopis with parrots. So Krishna was using parrots to send messages to the gopis. So dispatching turned into scratching. So that's, and Krishna's not scratching anybody with parrot's nails. He's using the parrots to dispatch messages. All right. And then the end of his Kaishora age. Oh Krishna, today your age of youth in the role of guru is teaching the golden gopis the art of whispering in each other's ears, the method of making verses of praise for messengers when alone, cleverness in cheating husbands, practice in sneaking to the forest at night, deafness to the words of the elders, and rapt hearing of the flute sound. So we're going to have now a 10-minute breakout group, and to discuss which of these ages most stimulates your attraction for Krishna and why. So which of these ages, we have Krishna's Kumara, Pugunda, beginning Kaishora, middle Kaishora, and late Kaishora. All right, so we need breakout groups. Shakti Swarupini, are you with us? Okay. 10 minutes.
Recording in progress. Recording stopped. Recording in progress.
Okay, I hope you all found that very enlivening. We are now going to take a 10-minute break. Please take a real break. Please take a real 10-minute break. Get away from your computer or your phone. Walk. Chant some japa, take some prasadam, drink some water, go outside, and we'll return in 10 minutes.
Recording stopped.
All right. But often says, in terms of Krishna's beauty, that Krishna's body makes the ornaments look more beautiful rather than the ornaments making Krishna look more beautiful. And a quality I really like is Krishna's mildness, the softness of his body, that if Krishna just touches a new shoot, his limbs become bruised and torn. And then, of course, Krishna's pastimes. Rupa Goswami mentions briefly, like Rasleela, killing various demons, and other pastimes. So we're going to go right into a breakout room, and this is we're going to focus on Krishna's pastimes. So what pastimes would we like to see? If we could see any of Krishna's pastimes, I mean, myself, I would love to see Lord Varaha. I'd love to see the Lord come out of Brahma's nostrils, a little boar, and get bigger and bigger. And I put here on this pictures the pastimes I would like to see. I'd like to see Krishna dancing on Kaliya's hoods, and the slippery hoods and the fire and the hoods moving back and forth and Krishna's expert dancing on the hoods. I'd like to see Mahaprabhu's dancing in the Rath Yatra, where he expanded himself into seven parties, seven groups at once, and only a few devotees could see him. I'd like to see the fight between Krishna, between Arjuna and Karna. I don't think I want to be in it, but I'd like to see it, and how Krishna's telling Arjuna to fight with Karna. So if you could pick in your group, just pick one pastime if you have time for two. Each person one or maybe two. Now you have 10 minutes to discuss what's your favorite pastime. What's a pastime you'd really like to see? So Shakti Sarupini, if you could start the breakout room.
Yes,
ma'am. Very good. You're excellent. First class. All right, well, I hope you all found that very enlivening. All right, so we're going to go through... It was too short, yes. Always too short. We could talk about Krishna's pastimes for hours and hours. So now we're going to go through Krishna's dress and accessories. And we're going to have a discussion on this, so please take notes about one, two, or three items of his dress or accessories that you feel is a stimulus. All right, so apparel and garlands, prasadhanam. This is clothing, ornaments, decorations, and other things of a similar nature. And I was really thinking about pujaris. And, you know, my daughter does a lot of deity service here, and the night before she dresses the deities, often she'll dress with another devotee. So they're getting out which outfit and which backdrop and which jewelry and which flowers. All right, so Krishna has a two-piece outfit. Please remember, take notes because we will be discussing this. A four-piece outfit and a multi-piece dress in orange, red, yellow, and other colors. So the two-piece outfit. That's a lower cloth wrapped around the waist and an upper shawl. So the two-piece outfit. It took me a long time to find pictures of just a two-piece outfit. I mean, looks like most of these also have a belt. I couldn't find just two pieces. On his hips, he wears yellow cloth because that is the complexion of his beloved. On the top, he wears a brilliant red cloth, which indicates his attraction to his beloved. So I was also looking for pictures of a yellow cloth on the bottom and a red cloth on the top. That cloth indicates his attraction, which is like his attachment to the gold color of his beloved. Okay, the four-piece outfit. A shirt, a turban, a sash, and a lower garment. That's the four-piece outfit. Then we have the multi-piece outfit. Many pieces of cloth. Some are cut, some are uncut. In other words, some are like sewn up, some are cut and sewn into something, and some are just strips of cloth. Many colors, and this is suitable for performing artists. So we have the two-piece, the four-piece, and the many, many pieces. Then we have Krishna's accessories, his hairstyles, applied cosmetics, garlands, body tilak, tilak on the forehead, betel nut preparation, and toy lotuses. So hairstyles. This was also very difficult to find pictures of. So tying the hair at the back of the neck, flowers in the hair, a knot at the top. Here you see one picture where Krishna has a knot on the side. Two of these pictures actually are from Chennai. Two are from Chennai, one from Vrindavan and one from Hillsborough, North Carolina. braiding the hair. I couldn't find any with braided hair. Accessories. So cosmetics, white, multicolor, and yellow. Sandalwood looks white. When it's mixed with saffron, it's yellow. And garland. There's the Vajrayanti garland to the knees or to the feet. They have at least 5 different colors. Just over the chest, a chaplet around the top knot, hanging just from the neck, and also a jeweled garland and a forest garland. Also in Krishna's accessories is body tilak, which can be yellow, white, and reddish, and with pictures of makaris. This is a picture here of a makari. And the forehead tilak, which can be yellow, white, or red. And with accessories, we have the play lotuses. And also the moon of his face shining with betel nuts. So we're looking here at Krishna's garments and Krishna's accessories. So a 10-minute group to discuss which of Krishna's clothing, which of Krishna's hairstyles, which of Krishna's accessories, like garlands, tilak, betel, and play lotus, do you like to meditate on? So 10 minutes, which of these do you like to meditate on? If we could go into breakout groups.
Recording in progress.
All right. Well, I hope you all found that enlivening. And now we're going to go on to the miscellaneous. Krishna Chaitanya. Sometimes everything works right. Sometimes it doesn't. Okay. We're going to go on to miscellaneous. Udipanas, ornaments, smile, fragrance, flute, horn, anklets, conch, footprints, places, chulasi, devotees, and festival days. And again, please take notes of the ones that you're going to want to discuss. Yes. So, there we go. All right. So, jeweled ornaments. There are crowns, there are earrings, there's necklaces, there's brooches or pins, bracelets, rings, armbands, anklets, colorful belt, an incomparable diadem. Diadem means a crown. Earrings of a
little... Sharing the screen, Mataji, we are not able to see your screen in case you are sharing that also.
Spotless bracelets, pearl-studded brooch, delightful rings and anklets filled with sweetness. Again, I'm thinking about, you know, the pujaris and their, oh, I really like this one and I really like this one. There's a friend of mine who's a pujari and she told me that one time she had a dream, a very vivid dream, where Krishna got off the altar and he was taking her to the pujari room and he was going through all the drawers and all the closets and he said, I really like this outfit and I really like it when you give me this necklace with this outfit and this anklet bells, and he was telling her all of his favorite jewelry in this dream. And then in the dream another pujari starts to come into the pujari room, and so Krishna runs out of the pujari room and jumps back on the altar and assumes his threefold bending form. So Krishna's ornaments. So decorations can be made of flowers, sylvan. Sylvan means forest ornaments. And Krishna was dressed like this not only in Vrindavan but also on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. And Prabhupada writes in Nectar Devotion, Lord Krishna was going to the battlefield of Kurukshetra not to fight, but to grace all of the devotees with his presence. So we have these ornaments. Ornaments are also drawings using curved lines painted on the forehead and body made of minerals. So these are also Krishna's ornaments. And Krishna's smile is considered an ornament. His gentle smile by which he removes all pain by producing an unbroken stream of rasa of the highest bliss and admitting an unrestricted ocean of nectar. Kandana Nirvana Rasa. Unbroken bliss that removes all pain. Nirvana removes all pain in the world. And this reminded me of the statement by Lord Kapiladeva that a yogi should similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Srihari, a smile which, for all those who bow to him, drives away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. Krishna's fragrance. And I was thinking here in the Bible, in the Song of Solomon, it said that the Lord's name is like spilled perfume. So his limbs give off an unprecedented river of fragrance flowing everywhere and is causing the hairs of us self-satisfied sages to stand on end. So what is Krishna's fragrance? It's called Chatusama. It's two parts of musk, four parts of sandalwood, three parts of aguru or oud, and one part of camphor. So these are not flower fragrances. These are forest. Musk is an animal fragrance, and sandalwood, camphor, and oud or aguru are tree fragrances. These are very masculine, very forest fragrances. Then flute, and I don't have here all the detailed descriptions, or we'd be here for another hour, but many descriptions of the flute. So insistently preaching respect for or challenging the rule of Cupid, the edicts of Cupid. So the way it's translated in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is respect for Cupid, and the way Prabhupada translates it is challenging Cupid. So we could say the flute challenges the material Cupid and gives one respect for the spiritual Cupid. And Cupid demands become romantically attracted, and the flute breaks that in this world and brings us to an attraction to Krishna. Breaks the meditation of the exalted sages and criticizes the sweetness of nectar. And Rupa goes into all different flutes, the Venu that's 9 inches long, called Pavika. All these flutes have names. They're all persons. Then we have the Murali, 18 inches with a hole on an end and four holes in the body. Vamshika, 12.75 inches with 8 holes for playing notes and a hole for blowing. And we have other flutes. One of jewels, Mahanandana, great delight, or Sammohini, enchanter, Akarshini, made of gold. It's funny, I have devotee friends with these names. Then longer, made of bamboo, Anandini, very pleasing to the cowherd boys, also called Vanshuli. Sometimes they had jewels, sometimes they were made of marble, sometimes they're made of bamboo. Then in addition to flutes, Krishna has horns. Horns made of horns from buffalo, horns from antelope, horns from others, with gold covering at both ends. I know this picture is silver. I couldn't find a picture with gold. And jewels inlaid in the middle, called the Mandra Ghosha, or rumbling thunder. So Krishna blows these horns. If you've ever heard anyone blow a horn, when I was growing up in Jewish religion, they would blow a ram's horn, the shofar. So there's this nice statement, it's poetic, that the gopi Taravali was bitten by the most venomous snake of Krishna's flute. So that's a metaphor. The flute's not actually a snake. But here, the hearing the flute is compared to snake poison. So often, snake poison can be mitigated with milk. So she was so enchanted by this flute, it was like she was poisoned. And to try to reduce this enchantment, she listened to Krishna blowing his buffalo horn as if she were trying to drink milk. But instead of the sound of the buffalo horn decreasing her attachment to Krishna from the flute, it increased her attachment to Krishna. So this is the example of how Krishna's blowing of the buffalo horn, blowing of other horns, can actually increase our attachment to Krishna. You think about in the modern day, there's so many musicians and they have so many fans, right, that are running after them, trying to touch them just by hearing their, you know, one note on their guitar, and then everybody's like, oh! So imagine people hearing Krishna's flute, Krishna's buffalo horn, antelope horn, right? And Krishna's ankle bells. Rupa Goswami quotes, when I heard Krishna's ankle bells, I wanted to go out, but my superiors were there, I couldn't. Krishna's panchajanya, his conch shell, when he blows it, the demons have miscarriages, and the demigods become filled with auspiciousness. Krishna's footprint, an example of Akura, who saw Krishna's footprint, he says, oh, this is the dust from my master's feet. Krishna's places, like Vrindavana, Mathura, Dwarka, Kurukshetra, and the evidence is, I just hear about these places. Even if I don't go there, I just hear about them. I feel so happy hearing about them. And then Tulsi leaves and buds, and devotees once asked the Tulsi buds, please tell me about Krishna. So someone asked a question, can we ask the Tulsis about Krishna? Definitely. You can ask Tulsi Devi to tell you about Krishna. Then the devotee as Udipana. So the examples given here are Dhruva, when he saw the associates of Narayana approaching him to take him to the spiritual world, and a gopi who saw Subala, Krishna's friend. So we have the question again, when are devotees the ashraya and when are devotees an udipana? So let's say that you have the staibhav, you have the basic connection of a cowherd boy. So other cowherd boys who have a similar relationship, they're going to be the ashraya, the shelter of your love. Your love for Krishna as a cowherd boy is going to be enhanced by the love of the other cowherd boys. And someone who's in a very different relationship is not going to be your ashraya, they're going to be your udipana. So you'll hear about, you know, resonance of Vaikuntha, or you'll hear about Dhruva, or you'll hear about somebody else, and that will act as an udipana, but not ashraya. All right, and days, we have Janmashtami coming up. So our days, of course, Ekadasi and so many other festival days. I'm sure many, many of us have the experience that when we're preparing for a festival, when we're celebrating the festival, our love for Krishna increases. So we have all of these, the miscellaneous items that we discussed. I hope you were taking notes. Krishna's flute, Krishna's horn, Krishna's places, Krishna's jewelry, Tulsi, his fragrance, the devotees. And so this is our last breakout session. So 10 minutes. Which of these do we find to be a stimulus? Which of these increases our love? Each person discuss at least one. If you have time, you can discuss two or three. All right, so we have our last breakout session for 10 minutes.
Recording in progress.
All right, well, I hope you enjoyed that. Again, here are our udipanas, Krishna's qualities, his pastimes, his accessories. Under qualities, we had bodily, which included the three ages, verbal qualities, mental qualities, pastimes, then accessories, which were his hairstyle, flowers, tilak, etc., his dress. Under dress, we had two-piece, four-piece, and elaborate, and then miscellaneous ornaments, flute, horn, bells, devotees, festivals, and etc. And these, of course, are the components of rasa. Now, Next class, we're going to go on to Anubhava. So so far we've all been in Vibhava. It was a huge section that we looked at the Vibhava Alambana Vishaya. Then we had a class on the Vibhava Alambana Vishaya. And then today on Udipana. Next week we're going to do Anubhava. Then after that, Sattvika Bhava. Then we have two classes on Vyabhichari Bhava and three classes on Stai Bhava. So we're really switching to something different next week. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful Janmashtami. Sorry. Vyasa Puja. So, thank you very much. If anyone has any questions or any comments that we can end with today. Just a couple minutes. Anyone have any final questions or comments?
Yes, in our group, Dr. Pisa Prabhu was saying that we should just continue like this, discussing about Krishna.
Wonderful. Yes, Kamalini.
We heard about Krishna's turban as one of the objects of attraction. So we hear how Mother Yashoda used to dress him when he was a boy. Do you think somebody else helped him put his turban on when he's a man? Like when his queens, did they used to help him get dressed?
Well, yes.
Or Uddhava, or did anyone ever hear anyone else helping him? I know when they went to Vrindavan, remember, Uddhava would have a cowherd boy dress in the chariot so he could change. But anybody ever hear anything?
Well, we have servants. Krishna certainly has servants to put on his... But I'm sure when he's out playing, there's servants that go to the forest with him. Patrak and Rakdak go out to the forest. So maybe they adjust that. But I'm sure sometimes the cowherd boys and the gopis say, hey, can I fix your... Like you might say to your husband, oh, yeah, can I fix your... Things like that.
But in Dwarka, maybe his servants help him put on... Well, he wears a crown there, doesn't he?
I'm sure he sometimes wears a turban or a helmet. Yes? Thank you. All right, well, I'd like to end on time. And we have everyone happy, happy, happy Janmashtami, which of course Janmashtami is one of the Udipanas. So in our Janmashtami celebration, our Vyas Puja celebration, and we'll come back next week ready to talk about Anubhavas. I know it's going to be a hectic week, but please, please turn your questions in. You can turn your questions in anytime from now until 24 hours before the next class. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to go deeply, deeply, deeply into Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. I'm enjoying it very much. Any feedback you have, positive, negative, also is appreciated. And Shakti Swarupini will share the PowerPoint right after the class. Thank you again. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Rupa Goswami Ki Jai.